Blog Talk Radio.
The Bill and Kelly Show, Miss Kelly Pappas.
Hello, Bill Barsichini. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Boy, I'm great. I'm great. Waiting for the rain to come.
The rain. They keep teasing us with it, right? We had a little smattering of it a couple of weeks ago.
That was a beautiful night. It's just enough. It really kind of rained. It really rained.
And that's what you live for. You just
I live for the rain.
Gray,
yeah.
And you live in L.A., where it's 100.
Everyone says I should go to Seattle.
I know.
Because
with
it rains.
Starbucks. But you love getting in that mood for, like, you know, rainy days where you're inside and maybe turning on Turner Classic Movies.
Yes. I'm totally
you know
into
you might,
it.
You know who you might see on Turner Classic Movies.
You know who we would see.
What a career. We're talking about our special guest today, Mr. Conrad Janis.
Oh, yeah. You hit the applause button. Yay.
But let me go over.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Thank you.
There
thank
he
you.
Is. Hi, Conrad.
Is that applause or is that rain?
Welcome to the Bill and Kelly Show. welcome. But talk about Turner Classic Movies. We would see you in the Brasher Doubloon. On Turner
you
Classic
would,
movies
yes.
with George Montgomery.
A movie made some 66 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
I was
George
17
Montgomery.
Years old at the time.
Was that one of... No, you worked with Shirley Temple, so that was not one of your first movies.
That was... The next one after that I did was with Shirley Temple.
Is that
and
right?
Ronald Reagan. Don't forget Ronald Reagan.
There's a There's a good joke. I'll have to think of it. Ronald Reagan and Shirley Temple. Wow.
Let me just,
because you're nice people, I will tell you a little bit about the plot of that.
It was called
Hagen Girl. And
that shows
Shirley
up on
Temple
Turner Classic.
Shirley Temple was a teenager at the time. And she thought, she was in high school, and she didn't know who her father was, so she was the talk of the town. You know, bad girl.
Oh,
so
yes.
She gets it into her mind that Ronald Reagan is her father, her real father.
Oh, dear.
At the end of the movie, she finds out he's not her real father, so she marries him.
That's the only thing to do.
I stopped you both with that one, didn't I?
Oh, my God.
That's a bit
that's
of a
That's the plot
December,
of that movie. And
oh.
not
now,
only
were you
is
her
that
love
the,
interest in it?
Conrad, are you serious? That is the plot of that movie?
That, I'm serious. That's the plot
and
of the movie.
Were you like,
she thinks Ronald Reagan is her real father. And when she finds out he's not, she marries him. Now, I have to also
tell
you.
But were you the boyfriend in the movie? Were you
I
the
was
boyfriend
no,
in the
I was an unwanted boyfriend. I stole
oh.
a kiss from her.
Oh,
and,
not
when,
you.
When did you when did you get
pardon?
The girl, Conrad? When did
I,
you get the
I
girl?
I got the
Conrad?
Girl in Margie.
Okay, that was with Jean Crane.
Jeannie Crane, and Barbara Lawrence was.
And what was she like to work with?
The beautiful
with?
Blonde Tootsie. What? Jeannie
what
Crane
was, she
was
like
fabulous.
Yeah. Yes, people have said that have been on the show, that said she was fabulous. She was a movie star.
She was 20 years old at the time, and this was her 10th starring role solo above
My
the title
goodness.
In a film that was produced by Daryl F. Zanuck, who was the head of the studio.
He
and
must have been
we
in
had,
love with her.
Pardon?
He must have been in love with her.
Well, why not? She was
she
a big draw
him
for
money.
Him.
Yes.
A lot of people loved what she did and wrote in fan mail and all of that kind of stuff.
Very talented.
And let's go back even a little bit more than that. You were on Broadway as a teenager.
I was on Broadway when I was 13. That's when I started on Broadway in a show called Junior Miss, which was a comedy. It was a Broadway hit comedy, a family comedy. About a husband and wife and their two teenage daughters.
And
of course, the
teenage
daughters had to have boyfriends, and I was one of the boyfriends.
Cool.
I ended up being the lead boyfriend.
How many actresses say they started on?
Pardon?
Wow. How many
anyway, it was a big hit on Broadway, and it was produced by Max Gordon and Moss Hart, who was very famous at the time.
Oh, yes.
And wrote a thing called Act One, which they made into a movie about his life, was the director of the show. He was one of the famous Broadway directors.
And, Carmen, did you always know this is what you were going to do? Like, as a little
How would I know? I was 13. I didn't know anything. I thought I was going to be a ball player.
How did you get the job?
Yeah, how did you get the gig? Well, how did that go?
Well, I'll tell you.
Was it a cattle call?
Funny you ask.
At your bar mitzvah?
I was in school. Pardon?
At your bar mitzvah? Did somebody say, we're going to Broadway? You're going to be on
Broadway. No, but I didn't bar mitzvah.
I know.
There wasn't any bar mitzvah. But anyway, a lot of my friends had bar mitzvahs, but I didn't have a bar mitzvah.
Yeah, but 13, you know.
That's right. I was 13. So there was a kid in my class who was in the Broadway hit with Gertrude Lawrence, who was then big Broadway star like Ethel Merman and Mary Martin and people like that. And he was in this show, and he said to me, listen, because I played all the leads in the school plays. I'd always done it ever since I was about six. He said, listen, I'm going to go audition for a part in a play called Junior Miss. And would you like, because you like to act, would you like to come up there and audition with me? That was a big mistake on his part because I got the part and he didn't. I was in that show for almost three years.
Wow.
What a run.
It ran 710 performances. And that was
my first show, right, Conrad? Did you work two on the weekend? Did you do the matinees on the weekend?
Yes. Oh, yes. I did the matinees Wednesday and Saturday.
Wow.
I took off from school Wednesday for the matinee. They gave me permission to do it because I went to a private school in New York. And
I was going to ask you, did you go to a professional school with kids that acted or just a private
school? Well, there were some kids that acted, and mostly it was the sons and daughters of artists. Moses Sawyer, who was a very well-known realist painter, had his son there, and there were other actors who had their children there. My father was in the art world, and a collector at that time. He was not an art dealer.
So you were surrounded by it. You were just surrounded by it.
Well, that's my parents wanted me to have that as a background. And I didn't learn a damn thing because it was a private school and you didn't have to do any homework or anything like that. And I skipped every class I could possibly skip. And I got to tell you, I got a good education even so.
Sure, yeah. Well, I think kids get too much homework now. They just, like, you know, they come home, they should be outside playing, not on the computer.
That's right.
Yeah.
I agree with you. They should be playing third base.
Now, where did you grow up, Conrad?
Right in Manhattan.
In the city of New York City?
Right on Central Park West.
Oh, right there. Yeah.
Yep. Right in the middle of Manhattan.
And you came home every day, or when you went to school, you stayed there?
No, I came home every day.
So you were outside.
It was a half an hour to school on the subway and a half an hour back. And it cost a nickel.
Look at you.
The subway cost a nickel.
Oh, God.
And then you had to take the subway to get to work on Broadway.
That's right. You did that. Or there was a bus that took actors, that ran at a certain hour, and a lot of actors were on that. So it was fun to ride that because you could see all your friends. And chat with them. All the people who were in Broadway shows going down to the center of town. Because we were up on Central Park West in the 80s, and then you went down into the 40s and 50s, which is where the theater district was.
Well, Conrad, growing up around all of these people, Broadway at 13, Shirley Temple, was there anybody that you worked with that you were actually nervous to meet? You know, really, like, in awe of, because I can just imagine.
Are you there?
I'm right here.
Okay, sorry, because I have a very strange phone. I was in awe of the first major actor that I worked with in a movie called, and his name was Robert Benchley.
Hmm.
Oh,
and
right,
I don't know
right.
if you know who Robert Benchley was. Was one of the Algonquin Round Table. You
right.
know, those,
he had
those,
a very famous son, too, Peter Benchley, right?
That's right. And Nathaniel
yeah.
Benchley, I think, also. Mm-hmm. And anyway, Robert
yeah.
Benchley was a brilliant, brilliant man who was a critic, a Broadway critic. He wrote, he would go attend openings, and he wrote a criticism. He said... of one show, he said, as a drama critic, I have to write at least two paragraphs to review a show. Last night at the such and such theater, something, something opened. Why? And that was the end of the review. he was famous
what?
For that.
Yeah.
And anyway, I wasn't so much in awe of him as I was. Well, I was in awe of him because he was a brilliant comedian. And
yeah.
I learned a tremendous amount from watching him work.
Timing, yeah.
I guess it was
and
his grandson,
it was a
Peter
habit
Benchley.
I picked up in the show. I when I was in the show Junior Miss, I didn't, after my scene was over, because I didn't have the lead in the play, I had a nice scene in the play, and then I was finished. Instead of going back to my dressing room or playing poker with the boys upstairs or whatever it was, I used to sit in the wings, you know, of the theater.
And watch yeah.
the show. And I would
wow.
watch it, and I would listen to the audience. And I would listen. I got to listening for the laughs. I got fascinated
yes.
with why on a given day a certain line got a very good laugh, and why on another day it didn't get a good laugh at all. And I learned an awful lot about comedy just from sitting there and watching that show night after night after night. I was absolutely
yeah.
fascinated with it. You used to sit
yeah.
there and watch the actors. Oh, I was, you know, it was a romance for me to sit there and watch these people.
It was a romance you know? For me. I love that. I love that.
Well, it was.
You were in New York.
You know, these were professional actors, and I was what was I a 13-year-old school kid who played third base.
But you
now,
had enough sense to bring that chair around and watch.
Oh yes, talk about an education! Wow.
Well,
now New York in the late 40s.
I did it because I liked it. I didn't do it because it was something
was
I should do or anything
you.
Or
yeah.
or my daddy said now you go
right.
watch the performance. None of that.
Right. It was a fascination. Yeah.
Yes, it was.
New York in the late 40s, that was the beginning of television. So you were there when
Well, I was there in
really,
the beginning. I did a show
and
called
Betty White
The Girls.
Had to sit there and figure out what to do with 4 hours of television time. Not
That's
Betty
right.
White. Yeah, is it Betty White?
Yeah, Betty White was
yeah.
early television.
She
oh,
was,
Betty
she had
White
4 hours
was early television.
To do.
There was an actress named Bethel Leslie. There was another actress named Grace Kelly. There was another actress
yeah.
named Eva Marie Saint. There was an actor named Christopher Plummer. These
right.
were all actors that nobody knew and were on. And we did most of the television. There were about 50 of us.
Jack Lemmon, James Dean.
That's right, Jack Lemmon, James Dean.
And I mean, how did it work then, Conrad? How did it go? I mean, you all went to a studio and did what?
You want to know how it went? Have I got a chance to tell you a little story?
You got all
I would love it. I'm living for it.
All right, we're doing a show called Suspense. Suspense was one of the big major television shows. A man would come on and he would say, Suspense. And the music, you know, spooky music. And it was a half-hour show once a week, and it was one of the most successful shows. Ran for
wow.
years. So we were doing a show, and I was doing a show with two bit part players, one of them named Lee Marvin.
My God.
And the other one named Ray Walston.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
Now, Lee
God.
Marvin,
Marshall.
Of course, turned out to be a big movie
wow.
star. And Ray Walton turned out to be a major character actor. He played in Annie Get what somebody.
I forget what the name of it was.
Damn Yankees, and of course he's very successful on television.
My favorite Martian.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he got to be very well known. So we're doing the show, and the director, who was a kind of a madman, he was the early great director of television. His name was Robert Stevens, and he was before Sidney Lumet and before John Frankenheimer and before all of those guys that went out to Hollywood and got to be famous. Robert Mulligan, who won the Academy Award for the picture with Gregory Peck that...
Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, Kill a Mockingbird. So we're doing the show, and Robert, and in those days, you rehearsed for 3 days. On the fourth day, you blocked it for the camera the cameras knew where they were going to move because you had three cameras, and you did the show live. And early television was exciting, not only for the actors, but for the audience, because the audience realized that while you were doing it, while they were watching it on television, we were actually doing it in a studio downtown, and they were seeing it live. So it was like an opening night. It was like all these opening nights. So you would never know what could happen. Anything could happen. So the fourth day was camera blocking day. So we get there on the third day, and Robert Stevens tears the script in half. Right?
Oh, my God.
He says, I can't stand this show. I hate this show. And he said to the writer, whose name was Alvin Sappensley, write me a new show. So naturally, Sappensley couldn't do that, but he did have something in a drawer. You know, so he pulled that out and gave it to Stevens, who liked it. And so the next day we come in, this is camera blocking day, and the following day we're going to do it, right? So we come in, and Robert Stevens says to us, here's the new script, with a note of triumph in his voice, like he had done something great. Of course, we now have to not only learn where the camera's going to go and learn where to move, but also we had to relearn the script because it was a completely different script, a completely different story.
No cue cards.
So you can't argue with him or anything like that because the time is wasting. And so we all pitched in and tried to learn it. So now we get to the actual day that we're going to do it on the air.
I'm nervous for you. What happened?
Well, you can imagine what we are.
We're
all of us out of our minds with nerves.
Oh, my God.
And we're perspiring because not only are we nervous, but it's hot as hell there because they had those old-fashioned lights that really were very, very hot. So we go on the air, right? And we go all the way through the first half of the show. And the format for that kind of a show was 2 minutes of commercial, 11 minutes of show, another 2 minutes of commercial, another 11 minutes of show, and then the final commercial and wrap-up. So
and
you
that
did
was the
two
opposite,
11-minute sections. So we get through the first 11-minute section, and we're pretty much okay. We didn't make any major errors. And while we're toweling off and calming down and getting ready for, looking at the script for the next 11 minutes, Robert Stevens comes to us and says, he's got papers in his hand. He says, here are the new pages.
You're going to do the other show.
No.
Live.
He had a rewrite. He had the guy rewrite about 3 pages. And he says, here are the new pages we're going to do. And we took a look at it, and we're down near the end of the show. The ending of the show he wanted to change. What are you going to do? You can't argue with him. You're already on the air. And millions of people are watching.
Oh,
and so we we started reading the thing and trying to get it into our heads and everything like that. And now, of course, if we were nervous before, we're really nervous now.
Yes.
And so we start in on the second 11 minutes, and we're getting down near the end where the new pages are going to come. And I'm a Western Union boy, and I've got the money. And they say, you've got these two crooks say, you've got the money. And I say, I don't have the money, and they try to take it from me and all of that. And now that's where the new pages come in. So out of the corner of my eye, I see that Robert Stevens, the director, has come out of the booth.
No.
And he's crawling on the floor, literally, because he has to stay out of the sight of the cameras. He can't get caught, you know, crawling across the floor with his earphones on and his script in his hand and a pencil in the other hand and get caught. And he's headed for us, right? And I see this. And he's coming closer and closer. And he finally gets right next to me. And he's on the floor, and we're playing the scene. You've got the money. I don't have the money. Give me the money. I won't give you the money. And he grabs my pants leg, and he pulls on my pants, and he leans up to me, and he says, cut every other line. We're long.
Oh, they were running long.
Yes.
Cut every other line.
Every other line.
Oh, they call it the golden
age of television.
Out of the three
new pages that he's just given.
Who had the money, by the way, at the end?
I had the money.
They married the parents. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, I had
the
money.
The sponsor had the money.
Shirley Temple married the father.
Well, I don't know whether the sponsor wanted to continue on after that one.
No, Conrad, it's amazing how you can remember this. I mean,
how could you forget a thing like that? It's branded on you. You can't forget anything like that. You're on the air in front of millions of people, and you don't know what the dialogue is.
Well,
and
Conrad,
you
the
director
we wanted
has
to know
changed
if,
the dialogue.
If the first Tuesday of the month, you'd like to come on the show and regale and talk to us about your career and about just television and movies. I mean, when it was really amazing. I mean, you were part of an amazing time in America. It's 11 minutes of commercials now and 2 minutes of show. It's the opposite.
Yes, well, that's true. But that was the
half-hour
format.
There's no television anymore.
And from that came the format for the sitcom, because when you do a sitcom, that's how you do it. But you don't do it live. That's the big difference.
Now everybody, of course, knows you as Mindy's dad that had the music store, and Mork and Mindy.
Right.
And you had an audience that Friday, right? That you would tape in front of an audience?
Yes, we would tape in front of an audience.
Right.
So we were live, but it didn't matter if
you
made a mistake because they'd retape it.
Right. Oh, right. I see.
If anything went wrong, they kept the audience there sometimes an extra hour or an extra 2 hours, but they warned them. They said, listen, would you like to see a live television show? You know, which one is it, more committed? Oh, Robin Williams, yes. Oh, my God, of course we would.
You were there at the beginning.
And they had the understanding that they would see the show, and if they had to retape, we would retape, and they'd have support.
And Connor, how many channels did we have then?
Three.
What network was this for? Three.
That was
ABC,
I think.
Yeah, exactly. There was NBC,
now,
ABC, and CBS,
yeah.
And that was it.
What was
the
meeting like when you first met Robin Williams? What was that like? Did he read for the part with you?
No, he didn't read for the part.
Now,
that's
do we
a
have
very
enough time for this?
Story.
I want to give this the whole half hour of next time Conrad's on with us next week, if you will.
All right,
on.
I'll hold the story. It's an interesting story. Because
yeah, I
want to
give it
Robin
all the time
and Gary Marshall.
Yeah.
And people like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I want to. We've got time at least to start the story.
Okay, and then we'll finish it next time.
Well, it's not so long as the other one. Gary Marshall, who produced Laverne and Shirley and Happy Days and The Odd Couple. He was in charge of all of that. And he was watching television with his 11-year-old son. And he was watching Laverne and Shirley. And his son was yawning.
That's right. I remember this. Yes.
Well, it's a well-known story. And
it is. Tell it. Yes.
So he says to his son, he says, wait a minute. He says, you don't like this? He says, this is how your father made, this is how you get all those wonderful magical radio and electronic toys you play with. This is how I can buy them for you. And Gary is a wonderful man. And instead of saying to his son, what's wrong with you? This is what your father does. Pay attention. He didn't say that. He said to him, well, what would interest you?
Ah, smart man.
He said, what would interest you? Actually, they were watching Happy Days. Man. They weren't watching Willa Vernon's show. They were watching Happy Days. So he said, I'd like to see Fonzie get tangled up with a man from outer space.
Ding!
So that's all he had to tell Gary Marshall, who went and invented Mork from Ork.
Right.
So now they got an actor to play the part. And, of course, Mork learns about Earth from television. Because up on Ork, they can receive television signals from Earth. So that's how he learns about Earth. So he doesn't know about what Earth is really like.
Right.
And he only knows it from television. So he comes down to Earth, and, of course, you can see what the comic possibilities are in a thing like that.
And then they have to find an actor for the part.
That's right. Exactly. You got it exactly, and they couldn't find one. And that's got 2 days to go, and they still don't have an actor to play the part because he's got to do all the sound effects, the outer space sound effects and all of the, you know, the zips and zaps and shot spots and all
that.
Of that stuff. And finally, one of the writers, a female writer, says, well, I know of a kid who does that kind of comedy, that kind of crazy ad-lib comedy, but he's in San Francisco, and he does it out in the street. That's how he makes his living.
That's right. He was like
a street performer.
Yeah,
he was a street performer. So they said, well, for God's sake, bring him down here and let's look at him. And, of course, you know, the minute anybody sees Robin, they fall in love.
And
he had 2 days to go to memorize the part. Well, Robin happens to have a photographic memory, reads the script through once and knows it, and he's ready to go. So they put him on the air, and he of course, people see this Mork from Ork getting tangled up with Fonzie and Richie and those guys from Happy Days, and it remains to this day the highest rated Happy Days of the whole 8 years that they did. It's their number one show.
Wow.
And Gary was smart enough to take his son's boredom and ask about it. Why are you bored? He was smart enough to quiz him about it and try to learn something, which, of course, is why he was able to produce Laverne and Shirley and Happy Days and The Odd Couple. He produced Mork and Mindy and on and on and on. And then it would go on to direct Pretty Woman with Julia Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
Made a star out of her.
Oh, yeah.
And on and on and on.
And ABC, based on that rating of that show, says this
still
is a phenomenon.
But he was the best thing in Soap Dish. Come on.
Well,
Marshall. Funny actor.
You're absolutely
he was
right.
Hysterically funny. Oh, my God.
Because they had Robin, who was a comic genius, let's face it. There are very few comic geniuses that come along in a lifetime, and
he's one of them. Yes.
And, of course, the minute the audience saw him, they fell in love with him. And the minute ABC saw him, they said, okay, we're going to spin him right. We spin it right into a series. We're not even going to have a tryout.
And that, I'm afraid, is where we're going to...
Or
anything
like that.
I hate to do
like
this, but to be continued.
To be continued.
Will you come back?
Can you join us next Tuesday, Conrad?
Because we want to hear about Conrad Janis
meeting
Robin
Williams.
Can you
join us next week?
Yeah, but I'm all out of good stories.
Okay, to
oh,
be
no,
continued.
No,
look on Facebook, The Bill and Kelly Show.
Even,
there are pictures of Conrad and the show.
We got to hear about your meeting with Robin and working with him for 4 years.
Tune in next
okay,
week,
well,
Tuesday
well,
at
you,
2, Bill Barsichini and Kelly Pence.
Okay, somebody's got to call me
so
up
much.
And remind me.
Don't forget, life is short. Eat dessert first. Bye.
Okay.